Well, I'm telling you, it's real. It's moving. I have watched it. I was on the plane coming home yesterday, and a lady just barely made it on the plane, sat next to me. I just said good morning to her, and then I began studying, and she fell asleep. She woke up, and the Holy Spirit just said, just ask her, how's she doing? And she began to cry, and so I had the privilege of leading her to the Lord. And she's a businesswoman. Her and her husband own 9 restaurants, and they opened up a new one on the other side of L.A., and we were talking about that, but she goes, I don't know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, but there's just something that needs to take place. And I said, well, I'm a pastor, and I'll tell you what's going on. Is the Holy Spirit is all over this plane right now, and how you doing with the Lord? And she goes, well, I've been so busy, and I don't, you know, I used to go to church. I said, well, okay, well, that's right. How you doing with the Lord? And so I led her to the Lord. I mean, it was like one of those things. And she just said, I need to go back to church. And I said, absolutely. I said, do you have one? She said, well, we used to go to one about 5 years ago. And so I told her, go back. Reintroduce yourself. Get in the Word of God. And so, and this was like 10 minutes before we landed. And I don't carry my cards. I'm weird like that. I don't carry cards. And even though I have them in the office, you could take them, but I don't give them out because that's why I don't have my name on the sign. All my life, you know, people put their names on pews because they bought the pew. I struggle in that area. It's just that point. But anyways, getting back to that, the Holy Spirit is moving. And we need to expect greater things because we have been in church of America, we've been put asleep a little bit. And our expectancy level has been very low. And so I just want to tell you, my expectancy level is really high right now. I mean, really high. And it's like I was walking over there like I was high. So because of the Holy Spirit moving on my life. So I'm just saying, are you ready for this word? Yeah. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I did touch on this. I spoke on this back in February. But there's some things I want to say that goes a little bit deeper than what we learned. And that's what Sunday night is all about, is going deeper in the Word. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, we're talking about salvation that's real. Not salvation that's fake or salvation that's a deception. Salvation that's real. It says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when you believe and trust in Jesus, you have been saved from the eternal penalty of sin. So what I'm wanting to bring tonight is, as all of us learn and grow in Christ, your soul is being saved from the power of sin. Ephesians 1 and Luke 15 are the passages we're going to use today. We're in the middle of the series I called The Plan of God. And the question is that we need to ask ourselves almost every day, is salvation real? And I ask the Lord to show me every day my salvation. Show me my salvation. And he does. I believe it's totally real, and we are saved by grace. And that's why I have really focused this past year on the message on grace, so that we would really understand how you receive what God is doing. And the Pentecostal church, we are part of a Pentecostal, full gospel, all the above. But we've lost our passion for the things of the Spirit. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, the word saved, I'm going to give you a lot of information here, is the Greek word sozo, S-O-Z-O. And it means to save, to keep safe, and sound. It means to rescue from danger or destruction, to save a suffering one from perishing. It means to preserve one who is in danger of destruction. It means to deliver from the penalties of the judgment, or to make one whole, spirit, soul, and body. I gave you a lot of information, but understand, sozo is a wholeness. It's a fullness of everything that God has planned for you and for me. So your salvation includes everything. Everything that God planned, everything that He's purposed for you, in your salvation, you have all you need. It's there. So I'm going to give you 2 points tonight. Usually I give you three, sometimes four, but I'm going to give you only two tonight. So let me give you the first point and let me explain it. Salvation is, you may remember this in last February, I brought this up. Salvation is eternal, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future. Let me read to you some scriptures. Just write the scriptures down. You can read them later. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages or the pay of sin is death, but the gift, that's grace, which is free of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise He has promised us, eternal life." 1 John 5:13, it's one of my favorite, is, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know," not that you may hope, "that you may know that you have eternal life." So since God is an eternal God, then salvation is eternal. So this is my thought of that, of what we just read, what I'm talking about, past, present, and future. It's when we think of eternal, we a lot of times only think of eternity or future. All right? But eternal is three things: that God always existed, past; that God does exist, present; and that God will always exist, future. So eternity is wrapped up in God and past, present, and future. So every aspect of our life is covered by God. In your salvation, eternity, God exists. As Dean was being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and brought to tears, and I was being overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit and had to stop, it's the reality of that God is always there. You are never alone, ever alone. Wherever you are at, even in your dark moments, you're not alone. Matter of fact, God even existed before time. Remember this in the Bible? Moses asked him, "What is your name?" For the first time, Jehovah stated, I am that I am. So I didn't explain this in February, but let me explain this to you. In that statement, I am that I am, he is saying, I am eternal. In another place, he said, you go tell Pharaoh that I am. So this is what he's really saying. Let's go a little bit deeper. He says, before you were here, I was here. I am that I am. I am right now, and I will always be. When he was talking to the Pharaoh, Pharaoh was the fake god of the time. All right? I am that I am, eternal. Now, let me show you a phrase that you probably are familiar with, and you find it in the book of Revelations. It's in the book of Revelations five times. Revelations 1:4, John is writing this, and he says, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Revelation 1:4. So what I'm talking to you about, John gets this when he encounters God, and that is recorded in verse 8. Verse 8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Past, present, future, God's the Almighty. Now, this statement can preach. Matter of fact, next year, I'm doing a message on that, on those three things that he states, a whole series. So that same phrase is repeated in the book of Revelation, a recording from the angels, a recording from the 24 elders, and the four living creatures. Let me show you. Revelation 4:8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Let this sink into you, because a lot of the fear, a lot of the what Dean was singing about, a lot of the fear, a lot of the deception and everything is because we don't understand that your salvation was, is, and is to come. Revelation 11:17, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reigned. In Revelation 16:5, and I heard the angel of the water saying, you are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and who was and who is to be, because you have judged these things. And then again, Hebrews 13:8 that we started with, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God is the author of eternal salvation, who was, is, and is to come. So we see the past. I know I'm showing you a lot of words, and some of you are writing notes. I know you're writing fast, but watch this. The conclusion, there is a past, a present, and a future tense of your salvation. Past, who was. Present, who is. Future, who is to come. So let's address salvation. In your past, you have been saved. In your present, you are being saved. In the future, you will be saved. Let me say it again. Regarding your salvation, eternal, past, you have been saved. Your present, you are being saved. And your future, you will be saved. Let's just say it a little bit slower, but focus on something. You have been saved. You are being saved. You will be saved. All right, Pastor, I get that, but what's the fullness of that? Thanks for the question. Here it is. In your past, you have been saved from the penalty of sin. The present, you are being saved as you learn and grow in Christ. As your soul is being converted from the power of sin, your soul, mind, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions. So your salvation is working in and through you, and it is producing growth or maturity in your life because you understand the present tense of your salvation. That's why you are here tonight. You want to know the word. You want to learn more. You want to grow. You want things to change in your home, in your business, your job, your life, everything you do. You want your character to be refined. You want all this done, and it happens because you understand that there is a power of the salvation that will do that when you understand its present tense. The last, the future, you will be saved from the presence of sin because in totality, evil will be removed. So let's keep going. I know a lot of notes. Let's keep going. So here's an analogy. You have been saved in your spirit when you became born again. Past tense. You are being saved, converted in your soul. And your body will be saved one day with a new body. Let's go over that again. You have been saved in your spirit when you became born again. You are being saved, converted in your soul, present tense. And the future is your body will be saved one day with a new body. So with all of this, I'm not going to zero in on the present or future. I want to help you by going tonight to zero in on your past tense, salvation. So let's kind of zero in on that. So remember, the present tense is your soul being converted, a transformation there, and then future one day you will receive a new body. So my question I want to give you for you to ask is, why past tense? Why is this so important? Because if you don't understand have been saved, you then will have an incorrect view of are being saved and will be saved. If you don't understand the have been, past tense, being born again, and what took place, your are being and will be confused. If you do understand past tense salvation, then you will have peace in the present and faith for the future. I'm saying it again because I'm giving you a lot of information, but that's Sunday night. If you do understand past tense salvation, you will have peace in the present tense salvation, all of life, what you're going through, and you will always have faith for the future. You see wars, rumors of wars, terrorists, disease, but you know that God's plan will be fulfilled because you understand past tense salvation. But again, if you don't understand past salvation, you will have pressure in the present and fear of the future. So the importance of understanding what you've been delivered from, what took place when you received God's grace through faith, is will give you immense peace in turmoil and great faith and belief for the future. But if we don't understand it, and there are a lot of believers that don't, they're going to go to heaven, they're going to make it through, but in the process of making it through, there's always worry, fear, doubt, struggle, headaches, all kinds of stuff that go on because we don't understand the truth of salvation. So let me give you some words we see in Scripture regarding your past salvation. Whoever will call on the Lord will be saved. The word justified. How about the word sanctified? Accepted in the beloved. Redeemed. Forgiven. The word finished. It is finished. The finished work of Christ in our lives. All this comes in the revelation of your past tense when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior. All of this is brought in. It begins, it fulfills in your life because of your confession of Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, will you mature in understanding of it? Yes. That's why we're here today. That's why we have church. That's why we have OSL, discipleship. This is in the Bible. If you have believed, you have been saved. If you have believed, you are saved, redeemed, sanctified, justified. The finished work. God will see his plan come to pass in your present and future because of your belief, your faith in the grace of God, his gift of salvation. So we look back to that. And that's one of the most important things because, again, like I said this morning, if you don't have full understanding of past salvation, then your present and your future salvation can get skewed. The way you think, the, you know, all the doctrinal views and all the stuff. And you need to understand and base most of your life on these doctrinal, wonderful things that God has done. Being justified, God's covenant, all the different things that we understand came when you received Christ because it was a gift from God. It was grace received through faith. You don't work and earn it. Okay? All right, so let's go on. So if you understand this, it will change your life. If you don't understand or catch the truth of past salvation, you will always try to achieve something. You'll always, the reason why you do what you do in church, at home, in your neighborhood or whatever, because you're trying to achieve something, something that has already been achieved through faith. But in your present and your future, you just walk in it because you know you already are. You're a child of God. You see where Scripture's going with this and where I'm trying to bring you to? So remember this, salvation is not a goal to be achieved. It is a gift to be received. Salvation is not a goal to be achieved. Like one day I'm going to look like I'm saved. No, it's not a goal to be achieved. It is a gift to be received. So what I'm simply trying to say tonight, if you understand and catch the reality of past salvation, it takes care of the present and future in your life. Watch this. When you really focus on this, you will always make the right decision in life, in your present and your future. Because you will always base decisions in your present and future back on the truth of the past, the work of Christ. Kind of, what I'm trying to do is get everybody to go, good. So all this stuff that I'm looking at in my life today, God's got this. His plans are yea and amen. And he will do this. My children will rise up and call us blessed. They'll rise up and walk in the purposes of God. My grandchildren will do that. As we get into our future, as we get older. In Ephesians, I want you, as I read in Ephesians 1, look at all the past tense statements. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Does it say will or has? Has. Past tense. Verse 3, again, continue. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Every. When did that happen? Past. Verse 4, just as he chose us. So the question is he going to choose or is he already chosen? He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now that's past tense. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So the question is, how in the world will you be holy without blame without the blood of Christ? You can't. So in the past tense, he chose us, proclaimed us holy, and he provided, in the past tense, the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all unrighteousness so that you can walk in holiness. You can't do it without the blood of Christ. So it's past tense. So stop trying to prove yourself and walk in the proof of the work of Christ from your past. Having predestined. Now, there are a lot of discussion on the word predestination, but let me simplify it to you and show you what I believe this is saying. I believe in the predestination of God by the foreknowledge of God. Also that God predetermined a destiny. God's foreknowledge, he knew. Beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega. Predestined means God predetermined a destiny. God has predetermined a good destiny for everyone who will choose to receive it. Past tense. So what am I saying? Don't get hung up on the word predestined, but notice it's past tense. Okay? Verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons, daughters, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Past tense salvation, you are made accepted in the beloved. So let's look at it in a physical way. I don't walk around thinking, I wonder if they love me. I'm accepted. And when I walk in his ways, past future, present future, because I know the past, what he's done for me, I've been made accepted, then I walk in rooms, people that I don't know, I don't have struggle with it because I know I'm accepted in the beloved. I travel all over the world. I slowed that down a lot when I came back here. But the reality is I knew I was accepted, and I just needed to walk in that and be obedient to what he's asked me to do in the present and or future events that I had. And why I was able to walk in that, not because I'm this great orator or whatever, it's because I knew God had made, past tense, me accepted. That's why I love people. You know, I don't stand around like some people and, you know, check people out and start deciding whether they're likable or not. I love people because I know I'm accepted, so that love flows out of me. Past tense understanding of my salvation. It's pretty good stuff, huh? Yeah. And I didn't write it, God did. So I'm not taking credit for it. Amen. So, here's the question. Are you going to be accepted one day, or have you been accepted? You're accepted. Past tense. Please know, I'm not doing away with the present tense or future tense. We're not doing away with growing in Christ and believing and are walking in Christ. What I'm simply saying, what Scripture is showing us, understanding the past tense will change your life when you understand, when you receive your salvation, when you trust it and believe in Christ, knowing for God so loved the world that you are something special in God's kingdom. Amen. Verse 11, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Does it say we obtain one day, or we have obtained? Past tense, obtained. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted, past tense, in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. Verse 13, in him you also trusted, past tense, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, past tense, you were sealed, past tense, with the Holy Spirit of promise. Did you know you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit? I did use this in February. I'll use it again. This is what the southern people would say. If that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. You can go home tonight and take a big, deep breath. That thing you're going to face tomorrow at work, God's got this. Situation with your children, God's got this. The obedience of that. Why? Not because I've grown in the Lord and I'm mature now and I can handle this as a mom or dad. No. Because of what God did, past tense. So in your present, you see things properly. God, you got this. I don't exactly know what to do right now, but I know you got this, and I'm trusting in you to show me. Holy Spirit, who sealed me, bring it to me. In OSL, they're learning about the Holy Spirit. Verse 14. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased, past tense, possession to the praise of his glory? I'll read it without past tense so you get it. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory? the purchased possession, Scripture says, you were bought with a price. You are not your own. You are owned by God. And he's not going to let what he owns fall apart. He's going to show, he's going to guide you. Right where you're walking in a situation and you still don't know what to do, right when you start handling the situation, the Holy Spirit in you will guide you and direct you and cause you to do the thing that God had planned, past tense. What he's purposed for this situation to do. So my question is, how could God ever lose something that he owns? 1 Corinthians 6:11 says this about past tense. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus washed me and sanctified me and justified me and sealed me by the Holy Spirit, past tense. That was our first point. Here's the second. And I'm just going to say a few words about that, and we'll be done. So what do you do now? Or the question is, what do I do now? In Luke 15, we're going to read some of it, but I want you to read the full chapter. Notice we are talking about Luke 15 on Sunday morning. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Your past tense salvation caused all heaven to rejoice. That's how special you are to God. So it says, when you lose something and you find it, you rejoice. It goes on to talk about the prodigal son or the lost son in the chapter. So what it's telling us, God is rejoicing over you accepting his son. Past tense. His plan was all would receive. And when you did, God has been rejoicing since that time. So many people, they don't understand that. They're trying to please God, trying to find favor with God. He's jumping up and down, rejoicing over you. Right now. Right now, as I'm saying that, he's probably pointing at me and go, word. Yeah. And then he looks at you and he smiles. See, because we don't understand past salvation, some of you are thinking, well, he wasn't happy last week when I did. Well, no, he doesn't look on sin. And it's our responsibility to confess that sin. But the reality is God is rejoicing over you, and it pleases him to prosper you. So basically, we were born looking for favor with God, and we found something, and that's salvation. So let's ask, what's the first thing you do after you find something you lost? Do you remember that question? I've asked this about three times in the last 19 years. What's the first thing you do after you find something lost? You stop looking for it. Because if you don't find it, you start looking for it. You keep looking for it. If you're looking for your keys and you find them, do you keep looking around the house with your keys in your hand? Some of you have had your keys in your hand looking for your keys. But, I mean, when you've gone and you found it and you grabbed it, you stop looking for it. You found them. All right? So why are we still looking for the favor of the Lord? The reason why is because we don't understand past tense. In past tense, we found it. So stop looking for it. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that did that. Whew. So the question is, do you know why some believers don't rejoice during our time of worship? Because they're still looking for favor with God. It's not because they can't sing. You can make a joyful noise to the Lord. But I'm telling you that you have found it. Past tense. Scripture's telling us your present and your future is awesome because you've already found what you needed. What mankind had lost, relationship with God. We trust in our mindset, not in our heart. We trust in our soul, not in our heart. The Bible uses the word trusted. So what that means is I stop living for me. I stop wanting to be in charge. To be saved, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when I did that, I was saved. Stop trying to grab it again. Always go back to the past tense of your salvation so that when you're living today and thinking about your future, God's plan is perfect. He's got you. Amen? Let's all stand. Oh, I went through all that, and yeah, I got 7 more minutes. Let's see, what can I talk? No, it's kidding. It's been a good day. Holy Spirit has moved in a mighty way. I just proclaim a blessing over your homes, over your relationships, over your children, your children's children. God's plan is so rich. It's so real. Your salvation is huge. It's past tense. Thank you, Father, for the truth. That does set us free. Blessings upon our houses. And Lord, give us a desire and a love for the lost. Because your anointing, Holy Spirit, is moving mightily. And lives will be transformed because we take that extra moment of reminding and telling others about what we had when we received Christ. And I give you praise for that, Father. Blessings upon this week. And as we celebrate our country, Lord, as we come back this coming Sunday, blessings upon all that we put our hands to. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.